just want to just agree that the Holy Spirit will be using this message tonight to elevate you from where you are to where you need to be, and to bring you up higher than you've known, and not to limit yourself because of carnality, but to let Him lift you up on that scale. Let Him be your covering so that you won't be in your mental realm, but in the spirit realm. Last Tuesday, I shared with you about the journey inward. And tonight, your vision confirms the journey upward. That's the title of the next level of going up. This, for your information, was preceded by a few pages that I read from the book The Apostolic Reformation from Doug. And this continues on page 13, and I'm not going to go through the whole thing. I'm just going to give you a part of it. But he's sharing, sometimes back I wrote of the journey inward, where the Lord took me over a period of a year and a half or two on a journey to the depths of the depravity of my own soul, a sort of personal fulfillment of the Feast of Trumpets and the Day of Atonement, a time to afflict the soul, is in parentheses. Well, as you know, the Feast of Tabernacles comes after Atonement, and praise God, the Tabernacles manifest presence dwelling in His temple, and a big circle in my book, me. So could you try that on? Say, the Feast of Tabernacles, is really me. After I've tasted of the Atonement, His manifest presence, dwelling in me. I am His temple. And I will radiate Him. Amen?
Amen.
I'm having some trouble articulating to others exactly what is happening in me, but I will attempt to do so. I had lived the life of Moses. How many know Moses went up the mountain and came back down? This is what it is. I had lived the life of Moses. That's a lot of religious folks, and that's where I used to live. Always climbing to the mountain of the Lord, getting filled with His glory, and coming back down to try and impart it to them or to others. Thank goodness my occupation and desires allowed me to devote much time in the Holy of Holies, but after some time in the outer court, the glory would always fade. So, back up the mountain I would go. In other words, living my life based on the natural realm, frequently touching the spiritual realm, and serving as a conduit of sorts for the spiritual and natural realms to intersect or to blend. The Lord is calling for something different in this new day. Rather than a life and ministry originating from the holy place, where the illumination of the candlestick, revelatory ministry, that's in parentheses, bread of presence, ministry of the word, and the altar of incense, ministry of prayer, are external and in part ministry. We know in part and we prophesy in part, or in other words, living the ministry from the natural realm and touching the spiritual realm now. The call is to a life and ministry originating from the Holy of Holies. This is where every bit of self, as symbolized by the contents of the ark, which was all testimony against Israel, is covered over with gold, the divine nature of God, and one with the mercy seat, Christ manifesting the tabernacle presence of the fullness of God, rather than in part. In other words, living the ministry from the heavenly spiritual realm and touching the natural realm and bringing heavenly realm to bear upon the natural realm by our very presence, coming up in the scales, being covered by him. Who is the cover on the ark? Who is it? Who is the cover on the Ark of the Covenant? He is the mercy seat. Jesus is the cover. What is he covering? The Ten Commandments, which is the law. What else? The manna from heaven. Think about that. This new and living way, life beyond the veil, is entered into by means of an inward journey into the depths of the depravity of our own soul. Otherwise, pride would rise up within us. Most of us assume that this vial or veil or life of the flesh that must be rent in order to enter into this new and living way consists of our own many sins, iniquities, strongholds, and they must be conquered before we are allowed in. How many know that that's where they lived? Some of us may still be living there. That is exactly where the enemy wants us, fighting the nature of Adam. Well, Adam can't be reformed. The veil of flesh that must be rent is the stronghold of living our life from this natural fleshy realm. For though we walk and live in the flesh, we do not war after the flesh. For the weapons of our warfare are not carnal or pertaining to flesh, but mighty through God to the pulling down of strongholds and bringing into captivity every thought. For as he thinks in his heart, so is he. Proverbs 23, verse 7. To the obedience or attentive hearkening of Christ. To Corinthians 10, verses 3-5. This is the key. Bringing everything captive to Christ. Only Christ can live from Christ. And that will never happen in Adam or living from this natural realm. Now, I could read the whole book and nothing's going to change unless you understand the basics. When you're living from your reasoning, are you in the holy place or are you into the Holy of Holies? Yeah, holy place. When you're living with instructions from the Father, where are you living? Ah, but how many wait to find out what he wants instead of acting on what he thinks or perceives in his own head?
Say that again.
If you perceive in your mind something that you believe you need to do, is that coming from the heavenly place or the holy place? Or is it coming from the Holy of Holies?
Holy place.
Yeah, because it's, yes, it's you're searching for God, you're doing for God, but you're still in the work program, doing for God.
You're doing for God instead of with God.
In obedience to what he wants. Goes right back to John chapter 5, verse 19 and 30. Jesus didn't do anything to please himself. How much of what I do is still to please me or please man? As I'm walking, which I showed you guys a few weeks back, and I shared with you about the anger in the women when Lazarus was as dead as a doornail. And they are, in plain English, angry. Where were you? Why didn't you show up? There's some people that are doing the exact same thing to you because of your obedience. And you're feeling it. That's some of those arrows. Because you refuse to bow to their reasoning. And when you do, you're living from the Holy of Holies. And you will be persecuted. You will taste tongue lashing, backhand stuff. And I could go on. And I'm not picking on anybody. I'm just telling you, the ladies that were broken because Jesus didn't show up on time, the picture hasn't changed. And the disciples that were walking with Jesus were not exactly happy with him either. Amen. I should have heard an amen because, you know, when they realize he's dead, because he finally, you know, he says, oh, he's sleeping. Oh, they're all happy. Where is they? Where are they? They're walking in the natural. Oh, right away they're happy because he's sleeping. He must be feeling better. You hear reasoning? Do you understand what I'm saying? When reasoning takes over and we think and we work out our own program according to what feels good and what sounds good, it's all logical. None of it is spiritual. And we walk in and out of it. That's why the teeter-totter. We go up and we satisfy it up here for a few moments. Just like Moses survived. My God, those people are driving me nuts. And he gets filled by God. He comes back down the mountain and he finds they're back in idolatry. They haven't changed a thing. And he's taught them. And he made them see, but they couldn't, and they didn't want to change. They wanted to stay with what was comfortable. Don't shake my teeter-totter. Don't try to lift me up ahead of schedule. I'm not happy when I can't figure it out for myself. And I can't fix things for myself. Amen. Come on, how many of you know what I'm talking about? Put your hand up if you know what I'm talking about. I'm not trying to be on a foreign planet. I'm trying to tell you we've lived long enough down here. We need to go up. And he's willing to cover us. That's what that message is all about, girl. And I want a copy. Why? Because that's explaining exactly what we do. And this is why God wants to change us from carnal men and women to spiritual men and women so that we will be able to what? What is the whole intent of making us into spiritual beings? Maybe, yes, some of it.
And more like him.
We are bringing the kingdom of God to the earth.
You're bringing the kingdom of God into this realm. Today, as I was driving over from Route 5, I had a flashback. Route 33, big sign on the highway, Interstate 90. And there's the sign, and I remember very clearly back when we were to move to this particular building that it didn't say Chicopee. Anybody remember what it said? Chicago. It said Chicago. I am not exaggerating. It had not one letter that fit except for the C. It was Chicago. And I thought, my God, why are we going to Chicago? Then I found out later on, through somebody that knew absolutely nothing about the vision, because I didn't tell anybody. But I knew this is where we needed to be. Of course, then the dream shows up. Okay? My friend has been gone for years, or had the dream ago, years before, 92, I believe, the dream came. Okay? And he records it in obedience. Was he going according to reasoning?
No.
Did he enter the Holy of Holies to get that dream? Mm-hmm.
Why was it for now? Because God speaks ahead of schedule. And he warns everybody. He warned us. We weren't going to be in Springfield. We were going to be in Chicago. What does Chicago represent? Gangsters. The movie Chicago that became very famous, what does it represent? A lot of whoredoms. Plus, plus, plus. I can remember when a particular nightclub opened up in Chicopee. And all the saints were upset. And God said, I'll close it when I'm ready. And he did. Today it's a college. Why? Could it be because of your presence and your intercession in the Spirit where you didn't know what you were praying? Could it be because you are changing Chicago to become Chicopee? Could it be because in the early 1900s, when the Polish immigrants landed in New York, that when they were told that they were coming to Chicopee, they thought they were going to land in Chicago? I was told that by my friend whose grandmother came from Poland, landed and was told that she was going to Chicopee, and she definitely believed that she was going to land in Chicago. And that's from Tom, who takes care of our website. And I had no knowledge.
Not only that.
A little louder. Yeah, but I didn't know any of that because I had never lived in Chicopee. But you understand where I'm coming from. I'm trying to tell you that there's a higher order in your life with Christ. I'm trying to tell you that there's a way to go higher, and you're not going to be able to do it on your own. You're going to have to bow your knee and say, Jesus, I need help here. I cannot do this on my own. I cannot put this Adamic nature to death on my own. I have to really submit, because you see, if I keep on reading, it tells you that he actually supplied when we nailed our flesh to his cross. The fleshy you and me was nailed to the cross. He took our death, he resurrected for us, he's made the path open. He is everything we need. So how do we come up out of this? By humbling ourselves, crying out to him, and saying, Lord, I can't do this. I need to go higher, and I want to go higher. So if you've got something on your lap, I would suggest you put it on your chair. I want you to come up. Because if you think you can do this on your own, And that's what we're going to pray. We're going to gather around here, and we're going to connect. Bob, you stay right where you are. You stay right there because somebody's going to grab your hand. And this girl's waiting.
You know, if Jesus had gone ahead and gone to Lazarus when he was still sick and healed him, that would have been something.
Yep.
But instead, he goes and raises him from the dead. I wonder if they ever finally processed how much more amazing and awesome that they really saw him raise somebody from the dead instead of heal him.
You can see by the plans of the Jewish hierarchy, which makes the plans not just to crucify Jesus. They wanted to get rid of Lazarus as well. Because he was a thorn. He was a major issue to them. So if you'll close your eyes right now and say, Lord Jesus,
Lord Jesus,
you have chosen us,
you have chosen us
to go higher than we've ever been before.
To go higher than we've ever been before.
I don't know what kind of covering you need to put on us.
I don't know what kind of covering you need to put on us.
But I'm surely ready.
surely ready.
I've been prepared by you.
I've been prepared by you.
And it's been prophesied.
This afternoon,
by our sister Linda,
that
you're about to lift us up.
That you're about to lift us up.
And we're saying to you loud and clear. We give you full permission.
We give you full permission.
To pull us out of our carnality.
Out of our reasoning.
Out of our intellect.
And into our spirit.
Where we will receive instructions.
And then the grace to carry it out.
And to be aware of how holy we are.
When we are in Him.
And how you have covered. With solid gold.
Every one of our deficiencies.
Every part of my sinful nature.
Has been totally covered.
By the mercy seat.
That mercy seat
is Jesus covering
every one of my sins,
every one of my sin nature,
all of the iniquities,
and the debt that was owed.
It was paid for in full.
So I see myself now,
covered in gold,
from the top of my head
to the very bottoms of my feet,
and a special crown of gold
over my heart,
because
out of my heart
flows the fullness of who I am,
and it's becoming golden.
I give you praise, Lord.
That you've put the shoes of peace
on my feet.
And this mantle of glory
that you have released on me
will take me higher than I've ever been before.
And I promise to give you the praise.
I promise to give you the glory.
And I'm asking Holy Spirit
to counsel me.
Correct me.
Adjust me.
Fine-tune me.
And
if I need new spark plugs, put them in quick.
Amen.
Hallelujah. Thank you, Jesus. Come on, thank Him.
Thank you,
Lord.
Thank
you, Lord. You understand spark plug means fire.
Yes.
You got a fire on time.
That's right.
Amen.